A beautiful way to open up this afternoon's Harvest Table, the second episode, the second edition. My name is Natasha Khumalo. A very good afternoon to you and yours, greeting you from a very wet and cold Muizenberg. I trust that it's been a phenomenal Saturday so far for you and yours, 12 minutes after 4 o'clock. Beautiful music by Matt Dima with My Time Is Now, and opened up with a classic, Yolanda Adams with Still I Rise, certainly setting the tone for the conversation this afternoon. Still we rise despite our challenges, despite the crosses that we have to bear, despite, uncertainty, despite, us not seeing God in our struggles, but still we rise. Again, I trust that you are well, that you're blessed. It is, of course, Women's Month. And on that note, I want to celebrate all the Sarahs, the Ruths, the Deborahs, the Marys, the Hannahs, the Esthers, women of strength, courage, and boldness, women of faith and perseverance. It promises, of course, to be a blessed episode this afternoon. As you know, we have started with the Harvest Table. Last week, we had Odile. I tune in, such a blessed conversation. And of course, the theme or the topic was Bring It to the Cross. Today in particular, I'm talking about the book of Esther. We're unpacking the book of Esther. So if you are in your Esther season, this one is for you. If you are saying, Tash, I need that faith like Esther, I need that boldness, that courage like Esther, then this conversation is certainly for you. What to expect? I'm going to be joined by a phenomenal woman this afternoon. In fact, at 16:15, or just after 16:15, I chat to Pastor Desiree van Rensburg about, the book of Esther, unpacking it from a biblical aspect, and also just on her upcoming conference titled Esther. It's happening, of course, on the 17th of August. And then in the second hour, I chat to Pastor Thandi Khumalo, who is the founder of Women Arise, as she also shares her testimony on the significance of the book of Esther in her life and in her season. And of course, we also ask you to join in on the conversation. Are you in your Esther season? How does it resonate with you? The book of Esther in itself, 061-798-1075. And of course, the playlist is entirely dedicated to all the Esthers out there. So if you are needing that comforting music, that encouraging music, then it's certainly for you. I'm going to go to CC Winans. It's titled Always Sisters. Again, good afternoon to you. I hope and trust that you are keeping warm. All my life, you have been faithful. CC Winans with Goodness of God. Ahead of that, Chanel Mayer with Smile. And then, of course, you also heard by CC Always Sisters. A beautiful and warm good afternoon to you and yours. Again, it is Women's Month, and I just want to salute you, women. If you are listening, you are beautiful, you are courageous, you are a woman of faith, you're a woman of boldness. And of course, as I alluded, it is the second episode of the Harvest Table. It's running up until the 31st of August, and we are going to be having different themes. And so this afternoon in particular, we are talking about the book of Esther. Now, there are so many themes, at least in my experience and what I've studied, that we can take away from the book of Esther. But I think the underlying factor for me, or the underlying promise, something that I'm holding on to, is trusting God's providence, even when you don't see it at work. And I know that with the book of Esther, God is not mentioned at all, but we know that he's there. He's behind the scenes in every single detail. And so, like I mentioned, if you are in your Esther season, maybe you were in your Esther season and you'd like to share with us, opening up the lines on 061-798-1075. Joining me in studio, I'm so excited. It's not the first time I'm chatting to her. She's a woman of wonder, a woman of strength. In fact, both of them. I'm, of course, talking about Pastor Desiree van Rensburg. Super excited. We're going to unpack the book of Esther, and sort of how it relates to each of us in our own journeys and our own experiences. And then, of course, also touching on the Esther conference that's going to be taking place on the 17th of August. Clarina is going to be chatting to us about that. Before we get into that, though, ladies, looking very beautiful. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Natasha. What a wonderful day. It's wet out in Cape Town. We're truly experiencing an outpouring, an overflow, and I believe it's prophetic, because I think this is exactly that season of outpouring and overflow. And it is, I want to greet all the listeners on this beautiful winter's day in Cape Town, and just say hi to all the women, all the powerful women out there, the bold, the courageous. We're celebrating the strength and courage of women in our nation this month. And so a big shout out to all you women who are keeping the faith and just holding on, you know, fortifying your strength and your faith in this season.
Yeah, love that. What a way to set the tone, Pastor D. I love it. And yes. Then, of course, Clarina as well, joining in on the conversation. Hello, Clarina. How are you?
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon, beautiful Cape Town. It is beautiful indeed today. Pastor D said, just we are basking in the overflow, just with the rain and the abundance thereof. So thank you for having us, Natasha. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence. And again, I mean, it is pouring. So again, making the time out to drive into studio today and to sit and chat with us. Now, again, the lines are open, 061-798-1075. If you want to engage with the conversation, perhaps you are supporting Pastor Dez and Clarina, and you've tuned in, family, friends, part of the congregation. You can send through your messages on 061-798-1075. Like I mentioned, we are going to start off, I suppose, unpacking the biblical reference, you know, of the book of Esther, Pastor Dez. For me, I must say, when I studied the book of Esther, I went and I listened to a couple of sermons, I watched a few videos, and then I went into the Word and I studied, you know, the Word. And there are a lot of principles and lessons that I think we can take from the book of Esther, and I've made a list, but I'm not gonna sort of detail everything. But the first one for me is, you know, God has a special plan for your life. We know that Esther was placed in a royal position, not by chance, but for a purpose. And it reminds me of one of my favorite verses, which is Proverbs 16 verse 9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And so God didn't make a mistake where he has us today. I think that we spend too much time in our life trying to figure out where God wants us to be, or wishing we were somewhere else. But like I said, I don't think it's coincidence that we are where we are. And so getting into that, Pastor Desiree, let's just unpack the significance of the book of Esther.
Amen. Natasha, I think the book of Esther, wow, you know, there's so much lessons in the book. And when I think, as you said, when you opened up, you said, you know, there's so much that we can take away when we look into the life of Esther. And one of the themes of Esther is surely the providence of God and the goodness of God, and that God has a very unique plan for each of our lives. And our start certainly does not determine our end or our finish. And even though we come from, you know, many find themselves, you may start off, you may be an orphan, but just look at the great plan, and that God often, all the time, I think he works behind the scenes when we can often not see, you know, the end and where God is taking us. So that is one of the powerful lessons, and, you know, just the journey and looking into the book of Esther, when you see how she was left without parents and how her uncle Mordecai took her in and took responsibility for her to raise her. Little did he know, and if we look into the, you know, some of the powerful scriptures later on, when Mordecai says, when they, you know, really realize that the nation, the Jews are in trouble, he says, you know, the scripture says, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's a question. Who knows that you have come to the kingdom and to royalty for a time such as this?
Sure.
And so I think that in itself, you know, as women, oftentimes we get stuck in our process, and we get stuck with what we are faced with, the challenges, and we forget the greater purpose, the great calling that God has on our lives. So Esther reminds us about that. And I think we are faced also with a generation often, and I find that even in mentoring and overseeing our youth today, there's so many that have even been left as orphaned, you know, at a young age.
Yeah.
And they should take courage even in that, you know, dysfunctional home life, parents that have died early.
Right.
But God has a unique and a great plan for each of our lives.
Absolutely. Yes. I even think of her obedience as well.
Yes.
Because, I mean, imagine God says to you, right now in the modern times that we live in,
yes,
this is your task and your mission, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Go out and do it. Don't think about the risk.
Yes.
Because the thing with Esther is that back in those days, you could not go and see the king. You
right.
needed to be summoned.
Correct.
You know, and so now she's going, I perish. If I yes. perish, I perish.
Yes.
I mean, that alone.
That alone. My life is, you know, on the line here.
Yeah.
My life, my, you know, the Jewish people, her nation was on the line, but she was prepared to take that risk and to say, you know, if I perish, I perish. And also, when I look into the book of Esther, I realize that, you know, Esther had not been in the company or in the presence of the king for 30 days. So she was not sure how he felt, you
right.
know, towards her. There was no communication in that, because you, as you rightfully said, you had to be summoned into the presence.
Mm.
So she had not known, you know, how he was feeling, the distance between. And oftentimes in our relationships with God, sometimes, you know, we go into a situation where we feel God is so far from us.
Mm.
And we don't know how God is, you know. Even yesterday as I was, you know, speaking at a conference, and I realized, you know, some people or some women feel that they can't hear God anymore.
Mm.
You know, that they don't know when last they've had an encounter with God. But God is waiting. God is waiting, and God is always ready, you know, to just put his big arms around us and
yeah.
just embrace us and encounter us, you
yeah.
know. And so I felt that that was something that stood out for me, that she braved, and she really took, you know, said that if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to. And she had a strategy as
yeah.
well,
yeah.
you know, when faced with this. She had a powerful strategy. She did not go into her feelings. She did not go into, you know, a flesh fit. She did not crumble, and she did not say, let me run into the king.
And this is what we do.
Yes.
In modern world, like we, you know,
yes.
God, oh my goodness, me? Really? Let me think about it.
Yes. The assignment is too big.
Right.
What's at stake here? But Esther had a strategy,
mm.
you know, and she exercised, like I say, in that moment, there was patience as well. If you see the strategy that she took, immediately she
yeah.
summoned the people. We see she summoned the people to pray, you know, and that was so powerful that she summoned them to not only prayer and but pray and fasting.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Because that is so important. You know, oftentimes we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pray, but fast.
Mm.
I think, you know, and you give all kinds of excuses why we can't fast, you
yeah.
know. Different medical reasons we may give, and rightfully so, but there's often too many times we opt out and we don't, you know, but prayer and fasting is powerful.
Mm.
And so, yeah, that's just what I feel is what's so powerful about Esther as well, the
yeah.
strategy that she... Yeah.
We're talking to Pastor Desiree von Rensburg. Of course, as I mentioned, the theme of today's conversation in the Harvest Table is the Book of Esther. And like I mentioned, if you would like to share your comments, maybe you've got a testimony of your Esther season where you were called, you know, I suppose in a figurative sense into the battlefield, and you're going, Lord, I don't have the tools. How am I going to do this? And you heeded that call and you were obedient, and you have that breakthrough that you can share with the listeners this afternoon. 061-798-1075. I want to specifically touch on some practical tips, Pastor Desiree.
Yes.
Perhaps, you know, there's a woman who hasn't necessarily read the book of Esther, but from a lessons or practical lessons perspective, what are those that we can take away from the book of Esther?
I think as well, like I said, that, you know, number one, I think when we are faced, firstly, you know, Esther, if we look at the plan of God for Esther, there was a greater calling.
Mm.
And Mordecai, you know, oftentimes as we are living, or we're living our lives, and we don't perceive this greater plan and the huge God assignment and the call that God has for us. Because like you say, we question ourselves, could it be? Is it me? You know, but Mordecai, you know, had to remind her that, you know, girl, you did not come here for the pageant. You did not come here to just sit in, you know, in the palace and enjoy, you know.
You're on a mission.
You're on a mission.
Right.
And so if we can be reminded, even, you know, in this day and in this month, you know, of the great call that God has for us, then the great call that he has for us, and just to lean in, plug in, and to go into prayer and seek the Lord, and know that God, you know, will, he's faithful to be able to reveal to us and to guide us. I also look at the fact that, you know, Esther acted, you know, out of the fact that she went, you know, Mordecai took her in and she was mentored and she was trained by Mordecai. Mentorship is so important.
Sure.
Being in training, I believe God is wanting to train us for reigning. And we cannot get away from that. We're going to have to. All training is not pleasant at the time, but we need to be trained in righteousness, so that we can, you know, be able to, you know, even though sometimes we're going through our, like you say, going through your season, but be able to know that, you know, even though I can't trace him, perhaps in a season, I need to learn to trust him in that season. I need to know that this is part of the process. I need to know that God is on a mission to take me somewhere, and I need to be reminded of the high calling that God has for my life, because I just did not come here to live a natural life. There's divine destiny, you know, there's a divine call. And so, yeah, those are some of the things that I think we take from Esther, the you know, reminding where Mordecai to remind her, what are those things that, what is what I need to remind you, girl, you didn't just come here for that purpose. You came here for a greater purpose in God's call on our lives as well. I think that after she also, after she had prayed and fasted, after 3 days, the Bible says, I love Psalm chapter 5.
Yes.
When it says, on the third day, you know, and some of us need to realize prophetically that is a word for us. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes. She got off from mourning. She got off, got up from mourning over the situation, because she had taken this situation to God in prayer, and now she got up, put on her royal robes, and she changed her countenance.
Sure.
You know, and she stepped, you know, really stepped up and said, well, it's now. This is my time.
Yeah.
This is my time to come before the king. I've done what I needed to do, and I'm trusting God now to go before me. And as she steps in, it was such a royal moment. I just always see that, you know, it's very dramatic. Esther, you know, on the third day, Esther puts on her royal robes and stands in the banquet. It stands at the entrance of the hall, and the king lays his eyes on her. And he was pleased with her.
Sure.
You know, and she found favor, man, you know. I said earlier that, you know, the favor of God is going to locate you, will locate us. Psalm 102 says, the set time for God's favor. The set time. There's a set time that God's favor will locate you in your season. And so wherever you are, there is a set time. There's a fullness of time for that favor of God to locate you. So even when she went, when Mordecai released her to go into, to be, you know, become one of the virgins that was going to go into King Xerxes, you know, care, she already found favor with him. It says he looked on her, you know, that favor was just all over Esther, and that she found favor there already. And I often look at that as, you know, I think his name was Haggai, that took care of them, that took care of all the virgins that were being prepared to go before the king. And that preparation, I think he represents also somewhat like the Holy Spirit preparing us in our journey to come before the king. And that preparation, you know, so I believe that the Holy Spirit is preparing us, you know, to come before the king. And we look at also what took place before that in verse 1, where Vashti did not want to. She did not, when she was summoned.
She disobeyed.
She disobeyed.
Yeah.
She disobeyed. She was busy with her own thing. She was busy having her own party with her goals. Even though she was in the kingdom, she was, you know, under the king's authority. And sometimes I think prophetically also Vashti also represents oftentimes, you know, that almost like, you know, people doing their own thing while yet in the presence of the king.
Sure. Losing that focus.
Losing their focus. Right. That not submitting to the authority of the king and doing what God requires for us to do. And then she was banished and she was replaced.
Sure. Just like
that. You know? Yes. And the same that, the same thing that Mordecai says, if you remain silent, if you remain silent, deliverance will arise from another place.
Sure.
Meaning that our calling and our purpose and the assignment that God has for us is also time sensitive. That we
Absolutely.
Need to be redeeming the time
Absolutely.
Because if we disobey, we, you know, God says, I'm going to raise up somebody else. Mm. Deliverance will come from any pot. If God has assigned us, you know, and I believe that women, even, you know, in our homes as well, that we got to stand up and realize and embrace the call to train our children.
Absolutely.
To train that which God has, you know, given unto us and given us responsibility over. And he says, if you remain silent at this time, deliverance for the Jews will arise from somewhere else. Mm. But you and your family, you know, will perish.
You mentioned homes, and this will lead to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be Esthers in our different spaces that we occupy? And I think that's such a relevant question, because I may not necessarily have to go to the palace or, you know, and face the king. I might have my own situation that requires me to step out in faith, to step out in boldness and courage.
Yes.
And so just landing on this question from Rosalind, she says, hey, Natasha, just a question. In our workplaces, how can we be Esthers there? We feel so weak, almost like we don't have the strength that we require, that we need.
Okay, how can we be Esthers in our workplaces? I believe that we need to get, you know, firstly, you know, always we need to encounter, have our encounter. Our encounter, because oftentimes we're trying to, you know, the encounter with the Holy Spirit and rely completely on the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Gross darkness will cover the earth, but my glory will be seen upon you. And I believe it's the glory of God.
Mm.
And the influence, because we have to be salt and light, and it's an inner, you know, the power of God is on the inside of us, and we have the greater one living on the inside. So the dependence and the communion with the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to say, Father God, when I step into my workplace, atmospheres need to change.
Sure.
Atmospheres. And it's the power of God, because even though there's great darkness on the, you know, on the face of the earth, we look in our communities on the Cape Flats right now. There's so much, you know, we talk about, you know, what's happening in Palestine. But if you look at the numbers that have been, that are being killed daily on in our communities,
right under our noses,
right under our noses, then, you know, we need to become concerned about that and realize that God is saying to us, I need my women, I need mothers, I need women to arise, even in this month, you know, that the glory of God, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, is so powerful. And, you know, just to have all the fruit, not all, I said the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, you know,
compassion,
righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because if there's, you know, I know, you know, in workplaces and in the marketplace, it can often be very, very cutthroat. It can be very cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, greater is he that is on the inside of us than he that is in the world. Walk in like an Esther. Clothe yourself with strength and dignity.
You've been given the authority.
You've been given the authority.
Yeah.
Put on the full armor of God, you know, and stand, you know, knowing that greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Pastor Desiree, a word in season. We're going to go to a quick song break. Thank you so much for your messages. Keep them coming. 061-798-1075. Wherever you are placed, whatever position that you are taking, whether it's your family, whether it's in the workplace, in the church, are you taking up your rightful position. 061-798-1075. We chat to Clarina in a bit about, of course, the Esther Conference, called for such a time as this is the theme. It's happening on the 17th of August. All the information that you need will be shared right after this. A track by Sinach. It's titled Waymaker. And that's the promise that we are reminded of this afternoon. He is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. If you have just tuned in, Natasha Kumalo, I'm joined by Pastor Desiree van Rensburg as well as Sister Clarina. We are unpacking the book of Esther. We're talking about, you know, important themes and lessons to take away from the book of Esther. And I think most importantly, how we can, in today's world, sort of try and relate to the courage and the boldness that Esther had in her time. And again, so many lessons to take away from this powerful, powerful book. Ladies, again, I must emphasize, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. You could have been anywhere else, but you are here with me and the rest of the listeners. Pastor Des, I want to quickly touch on your event that you're having, the Esther Conference. It's taking place on the 17th of August. I think maybe very quickly, why the name Esther? We know now because you've given us context.
Yes.
But I think the significance of having this conference.
Okay. Natasha, thank you for the opportunity once again just to, you know, announce our upcoming conference on the 17th of August, Saturday, the 17th of August. Mm-hmm. Our conference, you know, we've done conferences for probably, I think, how many years? 14 years, which is, our brand name is Radical Faith Women's Conference. This year, we particularly felt that we wanted to go with the theme of Esther. Mm. And you, if you've seen the promotional branding, it's est.her. Mm-hmm. So when we look into that, it's about establishing Esther's, establishing her on a firm foundation so that in her calling, in her purpose, wherever she finds herself, she would know that she's been called for a time such as this. Mm. So that was the reason behind Esther. And I feel Esther's all over this nation. You know, it's a time to arise, but to be established in that. Then also our conference starts at 10 o'clock. And we'll go through, it's an all-day conference, and we have three speakers for that day. And I'm going to just introduce two of the speakers. Our first, we have Liesl Snyman, and I'm sure you're very familiar with Liesl. She is the author. She's an author and life coach as well. And she's the author of the book Beautifully Flawed. And wow, I think she has a testimony, a powerful testimony. And yes, we are looking forward to that, and women can look forward to that, you know, just come and be uplifted and inspired and be shifted in your innermost. And we also have Lucia Drummond, which is a powerful motivational speaker and coach as well, transformational coach. And we're going to have Lucia Drummond with us as well. All powerful women, all Esthers in their own right, you know, just shining brightly. And yes, and I'm going to ask Clarina possibly. We also have, you know, a powerful ministry psalmist as well. But I'm going to ask Clarina just to just give you more information on our third speaker as well.
So our third speaker is all the way from Nigeria, and we do believe it is time for Africa to arise. So we're getting it in all the way from Nigeria. Her name is none other than Debola Dijikuruni, known as Minister TDK. She's a motivational speaker. She's a policy advisor. She's a coach. She's a visionary leader. She flows in the apostolic and the prophetic, and she has more than 100,000 change makers over globally, which she mentors and uplifts on a daily and monthly basis. So that's our third and final speaker for the day.
Fantastic. Yes. So quite a lot to expect, I think, and a lot to take away from these different ladies in their respective ministries. August. In closing, Pastor Des, just very quickly, some encouragement for our listeners, particularly in a season where they are required to not only go on this mission, but do so with a faith that cannot be moved, to go with a direction and, you know, just the obedience that cannot be shaken. What would you say?
Amen. I believe, you know, we are in the eighth month as well. So it's a month of new beginnings. As I said, is, you know, keep your eyes at this stage, you know, in the season. Know that God has so much in store for you. Know that there's a prophetic destiny. Know that there's a fullness of time that God wants to. It's a time to be, you know, putting on the full armor of God. Make sure that you are dressed spiritually every single day. Because every day we have an opportunity, because we dress ourselves in the natural and we make sure we're clothed with everything else. But I want to remind listeners today, put on the full armor of God. Make sure you protect it. Have the helmet of salvation on. Have the breastplate of righteousness on. Have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and also make sure that your feet have on the gospel of the shoes of peace. And then praying at all times. Okay? Praying at all times. And I believe that once we, you know, prepare ourselves spiritually every day, that there is, you know, things will come your way. Arrows will be pointed at you, but you would gird up the loins, because it's a month as well, and a year, and the times that we're living in, to fortify our faith and strengthen ourselves. As Isaiah 52 says, awake, put on your garments of splendor, shake off the dust. This is a month to shake off the dust.
Amen.
And awake and put on those garments of splendor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Des, thank you. And Sister Clarina, any closing words on your side?
It's really time for us to stand up and stand to be established in Christ Jesus, because that is where it starts. Our identity is found in Him and Him alone.
Amen.
And there's no more time to say, it's time to say enough, we've had enough. It's time to stand in righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Natasha, the opportunity to be here this afternoon at this Harvest Table. It's been wonderful. And
it's been such a full circle moment, I think we were saying.
Yes.
Got a message from Joy. I want to quickly get into the messages before I wrap up. She says, good afternoon, Sister Natasha. I'm tuned in this afternoon, and I'm so excited to have tuned in listening to Mom Desiree and Elder Clarina. The first time I heard Pastor Desiree speak, it was in CCFM, and it was with you who was interviewing her. And my life has never been the same again, and I pray for those whom God has called to hear her voice, to have the same encounter, and to hold on to Jesus, because He's the only way to help us be the Esthers that God requires us to be. Beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Joy. Roslyn as well, saying thank you so much. To Pastor Desiree. She's such a powerful woman of God, spirit-filled, blessed and anointed daughter of God. Thank you so much. This August, CCFM invites you to the Harvest Table.
Just like a table that expands to make room for more guests, we have prepared a table for women to share their stories of joy, victory and hope.
So grab a seat at the table every Saturday from 4 to 6. Live on CCFM 107.5.
This table is set and there's a place just for you. This is your harvest season. The table has certainly been set just for you. Now, as I mentioned, we are, of course, talking about the character of Esther, but also the book of Esther. And as we mentioned in the beginning, there are several lessons, several themes that we can take from this book. But I think my second one that I've written down here is sometimes you will have to go against common sense, against what others advise, even against what you want to do in order to follow God's plan. And Esther would have to approach the king, though she didn't have permission. And this could have, of course, meant certain and sudden death for her, since it was even against the law to approach the king. But as she said, if I perish, I perish. And sometimes God's will makes perfect sense as you look back on your experience. And it doesn't mean, you know, that you won't be required to take risks for God. The best things in life often come with the greatest risks. And the degree of difficulty is certainly not an indication that God is not in it. In fact, the opposite would be closer to the truth. And so on that note, I am so blessed to welcome Thandi Khumalo. Should I say Khumalo or Bosfarak? Which one do I use?
It doesn't matter.
now, she's got such a phenomenal testimony, and it's an unbiased opinion, considering that I am her daughter. But today I'm not her daughter. I am going to be the interviewer, as it were. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm excited, like I said, to be chatting to her. Pastor Tundi, how are you feeling?
I'm a little bit nervous. But I'm okay. I'm not. I think I haven't sat behind a mic for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's been years. And it's my daughter. Can I say that? Who's interviewing me? Is that even normal? No, it is normal. I'm joking.
I want to get into it. And I know that I shared with Pastor Desiree as well. We unpacked the Book of Esther. And I know that you also shared on the Book of Esther a while back, but I think to personalize it, I think for a sense of relatability, how would you say the Book of Esther, her character of courage and boldness and faith and stepping into her purpose diligently, so how has that looked in your own journey and in your own life?
So as you have mentioned before, that I sort of had a sermon on the Book of Esther, and that was a while ago, probably like 3 years ago. And what is amazing, what I thought I got from it then has definitely changed because of my journey.
Sure.
And I think that is just the amazing thing about the Word of God. It's just, you just need to be open and be flexible to what it will say to you in different seasons of your life. So for me, I think what I can walk away with in the Book of Esther and the story itself is that it is so important to have a Mordecai in your life. Mordecai as a person will probably, come in different ways. Mm. It could be your uncle, it could be your pastor, it could be someone who mentors you, it could be anyone, you know, because I see her there in the story because she's accountable to him.
Right.
Not just, he's just not seeing Esther as a child to his uncle. Mm. And he's not taking the role very lightly. And I think he saw the greatness in Esther and he understood who she was even before, you know, she got into that place. So
yeah.
For me, for her to have a Mordecai, because remember, for them to be where they are, Mordecai overheard something, you know, conversation about them trying to kill the king. And this worked, you know, towards their advantage.
Yeah.
So it's always just good to have a Mordecai, and you just need to have discernment in your life.
Sure.
Who that Mordecai is.
It's interesting you say that, because when we were wrapping up with Pastor Desiree, I thought of the exact same thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack in the story.
Yep.
The importance of having a Mordecai in your life.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, continue. Yeah.
So, like, I'm seeing him. To have such a person as Mordecai, he's not playing around with it. He understands the danger that they are in. And it's not only for the two of them. It's for the whole, can I say, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. So it's not just the two of them, but it's almost like God has put them there as an ear, as a mouth, you know, as just anything, all the opportunities that came about, and her becoming a queen. You know, I'm just thinking, if I was in her situation, you know, sometimes we can be so, I don't want to use the word overwhelmed. We can be robbed if we are given, you know, so much power.
Right.
Because that was power.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And she did not forget who she was within the power, you know, of becoming the wife of the king.
And sometimes we forget, right?
We do.
Yeah.
We do, especially if we are, you know, we are in that situation. You are given so much power. You can get carried away. That's the word that I'm looking for.
Mm.
You know, carried away. She was not, you know, she was so goal orientated. She knows, or she knew why she was there. And I think the accountability to Mordecai, to always just, and Mordecai saying to her, you know, if you don't do this, you're gonna die.
Sure.
You know, he didn't go around the bush. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said, if you don't do this, we all die.
Mm.
And, you know, just because that will happen, God will just raise someone else.
Sure.
So she had to be obedient, you know, even to the point of death. So yeah, it's an amazing story. Mm. It's really an amazing story. I don't know if you want me to go on.
Yes, just I think going into, you know, the story in itself,
yeah,
and how you've seen,
yeah,
those instances, not just from a Mordecai,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
perspective,
yeah,
but maybe where you had to take up the role of Esther in your own life.
Whew. Listen, so my opening statement, I said it's important to have a Mordecai, mm-hmm, in your life, and that does not necessarily mean you must not have the spirit of discernment. Mm. So even having a Mordecai, you know, you need to be so connected, you know, to God, to the Holy Spirit, and to Jesus in order to see that the Mordecai that God has placed in your life is for real. You know what I mean? I just think perhaps in my life, you know, I was married quite young, at the age of 24. And the marriage only lasted for about 17 years. Mm-hmm. And I think when I look back to that, I think we're also in a space in our lives, you know, things were working out, you know, very nicely. You know, we stayed in one of the best places, you know, the place that I can always think of is Durbanville. You know, we were just given an opportunity to go and stay there with not even paying rent, sure, you know. But this is what I want to bring in here. When I look back into my life then, I felt like I was an obedient wife. Not that there's anything wrong with that,
yeah,
but I did not have a voice.
Sure.
I did not hear God for myself. I heard God, you know, for mostly for him, because he was a pastor, he was a leader, he was the head, and whatever he says, you know, I did not question anything. And I don't think that's what God wants for us, you know. If again, you know, Esther was given, you know, this opportunity to become a king,
right,
a wife to the king. There's Mordecai. She made decisions for herself. Mm. She was not forced into. She had a voice, even though she had to go to Mordecai, and Mordecai advised, yeah, her. She had to go and pray for herself. You know, the fasting and
fasting,
the prayer.
Yes.
It's her, you know. So God will entrust you. He trusts us with our, you know, the will. He has given us a will. He has given us a mind to think and to function within that. So for me, during my, you know, my life when I was married, I did not have a voice.
Mm.
I just said yes to everything, you know, even though I could see that, no, this is actually going a very wrong way.
Yeah.
And we would find ourselves in situations, you know, one situation after the other. And I, went on my own, I felt like I should have said no.
Sure.
Or I should have said, is this what God said? You know, so I had no voice. And, you know, as I've said, looking back and who I am now, a 47-year-old woman who I feel like I had to surrender to God.
Mm.
I had to be obedient to him. There were situations where courage had to come in. And I'm not sitting here and saying that it's easy to have courage.
Mm.
You know, it's probably one of the most difficult things to do, you know, to go and even confront your pastor, you know, about certain things, you know, regarding your own marriage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there were a couple of, you know, leaders who would come in and say things. Even then, I didn't say anything because I just thought
the voice.
Mm,
was not,
you know,
there.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So for me, really, you know, it's just having your voice, not just your voice. You will have the discernment. You believe God for yourself as a woman, you know, because before you become a wife, before you become a mom, God has created a woman, you know. So that woman still needs to entirely depend on God,
sure,
you know, and the sacrifices that comes with that, whether I perish, whether I live, you know, if I don't, either way, I'm going to die. So
sure,
let me rather be obedient to God. Yeah.
And that's so difficult, hey,
yeah,
being obedient.
it is hard.
In a practical sense, at least.
Mm. Yeah. Look, if I can look at my current situation, again, if you look at the book of Esther, you know, God is not mentioned there.
Right.
Not that God wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
God was there. His hand was upon, you know, every event that took place. But, you know, there comes a time I feel like God will just take a backseat, not because he can't do anything, but because, you know, he will allow situations where you feel so uncertain about yourself, you feel uncertain about what is going on, and you would question that, is God
even present,
even present in the situation? And like, I'm looking at my current situation now. I'm preparing to get married.
Get excited there.
It doesn't come easy. You know, there's a whole lot of things that we had to go through. You know, there's a whole lot of people that we had to confront and sit down and say, no, this is not what we think is the right thing to do. This is the right thing. To be obedient, you know, because you'll go and pray, and God will, like, you will sense that God is saying to you, go and maybe have a conversation about the way that we, for instance, this situation, we had to leave that particular church, not because it was our choice, but it was a decision. It was almost like a decree that was made by a certain person that, you know, they don't believe that we needed to be there. But I feel the obedience there was to actually pick up the phone and speak to that particular person and say, look, I'm not happy with 1, 2, 3, and 4. I do believe that things could have happened in a different way. At the end of the day, we are the children of God. We are brethren. We are saints. So it's important how we do things. So for me, I saw myself there, my voice again, you know, being restored, and the grace of God carrying me through that. But there were times where I was like, there is no God in this thing. It's not happening, because of all the huddles, the circumstances, and the difficulties, and you know, being, I've got older kids, and it was tough. But I had to do what God wanted me to do.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Beautiful. That is Pastor Thandi Khumalo. We've got some messages coming through. Zaza saying, great conversations. Thank you, Natasha. So real. Thank you so much to you, Zaza, and everybody else, of course, sending a message. Esmeralda saying, hi. Wow. Mom on studio. How special. How precious. Thank you, Mom Khumalo. Strong woman of faith. And strong woman of and in faith. Thank you for the teaching, Ms. Khumalo. Appreciate you so much. Olivia coming through as well. Congrats, Mama Khumalo. Umama, beautiful Natasha. Love your Esther story testimony, Mama. You are a real inspiration. And I know that there's so much more to this testimony. And I know that there's so much, many situations where, like you say, you've had to be obedient. I mean, in terms of even having to, I suppose, think of remarrying, you know, after divorce. Especially the divorce stigma within the church. So many things. I don't know if you want to touch on that very quickly, again, from an Esther perspective, and the braveness and the courage of the Esther.
Of the Esther. Look, it's yesterday I had to share to a couple of ladies, again, you know, in regards to my testimony. And what I had said to them, a lot of people who knew me then had a lot of questions, like, what happened? And I had to make it very clear that there was no unfaithfulness within the marriage itself, but there was just so much growing apart, you know, where I got so tired of following a person as if, you know, I don't hear the voice of God in my life. But now, preparing to get married again, look, it's not a child's play. Because if you know you want to do the right thing, you want to do it God's way, it is purposeful. The purpose of God has to be with it. And it does not mean it's going to be easy. You know what I mean? Just because it is the will of God and God said, it does not mean it's going to be easy. And I found myself, or we found ourselves, you know, in conversations that I had actually thought that I was healed. I was like, I was okay, you know, but as soon as we have those conversations,
triggers,
they trigger. I would find myself crying. I would find myself, I'm like, no, this is not it. I am not getting married. Let me rather stay single. And I'm like, is this God want, what God wants for my life though? Because when I look at my life, I mean, you know, the controversy of you being a pastor and you are a woman, it's not easy out there. You know, there's a whole lot of talks that are going around. Mm. So I do believe that it is God's plan for me to get there, but I need to be so attentive of what it is that he wants.
Sure.
The things that must come out of me so that I don't go with that same old Tandi into the second marriage and then I find myself being divorced again.
Sure.
So it's hard. It is hard because obedience there comes in where I have to listen. And then once I've listened, I go back to God with those tears and being real, you know, and say, this is how I'm feeling. I'm hurt. And you know, God revealed something to me when it comes to healing, that healing comes from purification.
Sure.
You know, when you take the mind of Christ and not your mind, and then, you know, purification will come upon your life. And then there's healing that will come upon your life. Because sometimes we just think to accept the situation, it's healing in itself, but it's not.
It doesn't end there.
It doesn't end there, you know. So it's been quite a journey. It's still a journey. And I don't know. Do you want me to?
Well, I could listen to her speak forever, and it's not a biased opinion. I'm chatting to Tandi Khumalo, my mother, joining me in studio. And what's beautiful about the Book of Esther is, again, there's so many themes and so many takeaways, you know, and you've mentioned your journey, especially in, I suppose, not having a voice, you know, in your marriage and realizing that there's nothing wrong with submission or, you know, but you still are a woman of courage and you're a woman with all these gifts.
Yeah.
And there's so much that we can talk about. But I want to go to a music break very quickly. And then, of course, ask you to send through your messages 061-798-1075. Your Esther season, how you've had to apply that boldness, that courage, that obedience that is often so difficult to do. 061-798-1075. I see your messages, Rosalyn, Petula, Orlando, Olivia, and so much more. That number again, 061-798-1075. When we come back, we ask Pastor Tandi for some practical words of encouragement, perhaps for someone who is in a similar situation, someone that has no voice and is wanting that voice again. Going to On Time God, it's by Woman of Evolve Worship, and then of course also featuring Chandler Moore. Beautiful conversations, real conversations right here on the Harvest Table. As I've mentioned, it is the second edition, the second episode, the second session, whatever you want to call it, and we are focusing on the Book of Esther. Now, I mentioned there are a number of, you know, lessons and I suppose, sure, topics that one can take from the Book of Esther. And again, something else for me that I've grabbed or held on to is the time to follow God's plan is now, not later, not after 2 years, but now. And so Esther 4 verse 14 says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." And of course, I know that we also touched on this with Pastor Desiree. Now, we mostly consider that very last part, the who knows, it's a question. They themselves weren't sure. They knew she was in a position as queen. She had the opportunity to see the king. They knew that God wanted to save the people. They knew that for whatever reason, Esther had been made aware of the plan. But did they know for sure that's what Esther was supposed to do? Apparently not. And so they went without being 100% certain. And so there are times in our lives when we've gathered everything that we know, all the information that we know. We pray, you know, and we look for God's counsel, whatever, you know, whatever it is that we do, we can even try and sleep on it. But who knows? Ultimately, that's the question. And so, of course, as I've mentioned, I also have Tandi Khumalo, who's also my beautiful mother. So well spoken, so articulate. Listen, I was going to say, did you practice for this? Because it's so good. You should have your own podcast, your own show at this point. But so blessed and so encouraged. And just before I let you go, there's a question from Rosalind, and I think it's such a good one because it's also a key factor in the story of Esther, and it speaks on favor. How important is favor? We know, you know, we see favor in, of course, in Esther.
Yeah.
She prays and she fasts for 30 days. And then, of course, Haggai, the one who looks after the women, saw favor in her. How important is favor?
I love the fact that you mentioned fasting and prayer. That is a way of living. That is how we worship God. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've got it all. You know it all, you know. It will still take so much faith. And faith, can I say this? Faith is not knowing, but faith is trusting God, even if, you know. When I look at favor, I hope I'll do justice to this. So favor for me is, I'm just reminded of Numbers chapter 6, where the Bible says, you know, when the face of God shines upon you, a favor will speak on your behalf. Favor will allow you to go to places, approach people that not just anyone will approach, but because of favor, God will come through for you. And favor is you, like this instance where Esther had to go and approach the king.
Yeah.
You know, it was favor. It was not her eloquency. It was not because she was smart. It's not because she fasted for 3 days. You know, it is the favor of God. It is the face of God that was shining upon her life that made the king to actually see God in her. The God did not see Esther. I mean, the king did not see Esther, but that's what favor does to you. It will open doors to it. You know, it will take you to a place where you, Natasha, will say, you know, I've been there, like applied in that company for more than 10 times. And you went once and boom, that's favor. That's favor. You know, you will have, you know, God will cause people just to love you, you know, and that's favor. It doesn't come because you have prayed and because you have fasted. It is a gift from God. It is a yes from God to say that you can go. I've got you.
I'm going before you.
Yes. So for me, if I can have favor, you know, I might not know who the boss is, who the CEO of the company is, who the pastor is. But if I have favor upon my life, it will cause whoever that I need to go and approach for whatever it is, if it is aligned to the will of God, if it has to do with God, and that person has no choice but to say yes.
Sure.
Because of favor.
Amen.
That's what favor means for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Makumalo, I just want to say, you know, you must really consider a podcast.
Okay.
Say my net.
You've been saying it.
I'm just saying it.
Okay.
And then just, you know, very lastly, for someone that is maybe sitting at home right now and, you know, maybe they found themselves, like I said, in the situation or in a challenge where they are voiceless.
Yeah.
And they need this courage, this bravery. What would you say, just in closing?
Look, I'm going to go back to my opening statement of get a Mordecai in your life. Because how do you know this person is going to be a Mordecai?
Right.
This person is not going to sugarcoat things to you. And it's someone that you are going to be transparent to. And this is someone who's going to know things that no one else would know about you. And when they approach you, they're not going to see a Tandi, but they're going to see a child of God, and they are going to tell you the truth as it is, a truth that will work in your favor. So just know your Mordecai. Find a Mordecai. Because I don't think Esther would have done this on her own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God was there. But, you know, there are people that God will place.
Yeah.
Let us not belittle that. Let us not look down on who God will bring into your life. You know, it is teaching us to actually see people in the lens, you know, in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when that particular person comes into your life, they will help you to reach your destiny.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I, like I said, I know that there's so much more to your story.
Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, from a daughter perspective, I'm thankful for you and the sacrifices that you have made. I know that you say you felt voiceless, but you have been such a phenomenal mother, not just to me, but, you know, to Nathan, to Bang Ogutle. And they always call you the mother of the nation. You always used to say there's always kids coming into your house, not your own, people coming into your house. And I think that just shows your beautiful spirit and your character. And so I appreciate you. I love you. And I'm so glad that I had this opportunity to chat to you. It felt like we're on coffee. Listen, can I just say something? I have been making a promise to my mom to take her for coffee. So I think this is way better than coffee.
This is way bigger than coffee.
Yes. We got to talk and have this conversation. The coffee is going to follow. But thank you for blessing me and even the rest of our listeners. You are a phenomenal woman.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you for making me so comfortable. I didn't feel like I was talking to my daughter. I felt like I was speaking to Natasha. You know?
I love that. Yes, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's good.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay.
There you have it. That was Thandi Khumalo. And of course, we were unpacking, you know, Esther, but also in her experience and her journey. The lines are still open, 061-798-1075. Feel free to add in your comment. Maybe you have seen the significance of, you know, an Esther in your life and you want to share that with us, 061-798-1075. Also, very important to, I don't know how to say this, but find relatability in your own life and in your own season. And so I think that's also something that really helped me really understand and grasp, you know, the Book of Esther. Thank you so much for your time. It is, of course, The Harvest Table, the second episode, the second feature, the second segment, whatever you want to call it, right here on CCFM. It's running up until the 31st of August, so every Saturday up until the 31st of August. Lerato Moloi coming through saying, wow, wow. I got the conversation at the end. Mom Khumalo is so articulate. I heard that I must have a Mordecai or identify a Mordecai. Thank you so much for that, Lerato. So true. Interesting, beautiful conversations, real conversations. Earlier, of course, we had Pastor Desiree van Rensburg also sharing, you know, sort of her understanding of the Book of Esther, some lessons that she's taken, and again, unpacking the biblical reference of the Book of Esther and her character. I got a couple of messages. Orlando saying, touched my heart. Mama Thandi. Petula saying, hey, Natasha, congratulations to Mom Khumalo. Thank you for sharing with us. And then Rosalind as well coming through saying, your mom speaks so beautiful just like you. Listen, guys, this is where I get it from. It is where I get it from. So blessed, of course, to have had these conversations and listening to these testimonies. Natasha says, hey Tash, it's good to hear your voice on a Saturday. I looked forward to the show. Always tuned in. Blessings to you, Tash. Thank you so much.